Good morning. It is good to see you. Merry Christmas, belated, and Happy New Year this coming year. Couple of items that we have for announcements. First off, tonight we do have church conference at 5:30, and then Wednesday we have no activities going on here at the church. And if you have not checked the mailbox to get your Christmas cards, there are still cards in the mailbox. Stop by there and see if anybody has given you a greeting. They might want you to have that before the holidays are over. We do wish you a happy new year and hope that you've had a good time with family. Obviously, some felt that they couldn't get families here or didn't want to risk one way or the other. And so we're going to have, I think we had 25 in the first service, and it looks like it's kind of percentage-wise about the same here in the second. We'll look to be back in place hopefully next week with nursery and all of that. Let's pray together, and Brother Alec, as you notice, got a one-man praise team this morning, so be leading us this morning. Let's bow together. Father, we're humbled before you. We thank you for being creator, and we acknowledge you this morning as the one who is righteous and holy and worthy of our worship and our praise. We pray, Father, this morning, thanking you for the gift that you sent us in Christ Jesus, that he would grow and pay the price of sin through his crucifixion, and being pleased with that, you raised him to life eternal. Father God, that we would see our two enemies of sin and death be overcome. We celebrate that this morning. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of knowing you by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. And we ask also, Father, that you receive our worship as we invite the Holy Spirit to stir us and to draw us close to you. Lord God, would you be magnified this morning? We thank you for the privilege. We pray thanking you for your love. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God bless.
Good morning, church. As we have gathered this morning, this is the last Sunday of 2020. And for some of us, that's a sigh of relief. For some of us, that brings reminders of the heartache and difficulty from this year. And for some of us, that just reminds us of the ongoing difficulties that some of us may be going through. But as believers, as sinners saved by the grace of Almighty God, by for those who are called children of the living God, we have confidence, even in those realities. The psalmist, he says, "The Lord sets a table before me in the midst of my enemies." And I want those words to bring us confidence as well, because what that is communicating is the Lord is not, he's not boarding up the windows and the doors because the enemy is surrounding us. He is completely unconcerned with whatever surprises the enemy might think they have, because he is fully knowledgeable and sovereign over even the enemy. And so he, instead of boarding up the windows, he is setting a table before us, inviting us to come and feast with him. We should find peace and confidence in that. We have a wonderful friend in heaven. His name is Jesus. And we're going to sing of that this morning. So I want to invite you to stand with me as we begin our time by singing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
Have in Jesus all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Needless pain we bear, all because because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Sorrow share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Burn with the load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Lord Jesus, as we come together as your people this morning, and as we, throughout the days, remember how difficult this year may have been, let us find our solace in you. Let us remember your faithfulness, your steadfastness, your grace and mercy abounding, your love poured out on the cross. And as Paul says, remember that all of these things pale in comparison to the glory to come. What we behold in you, Jesus. And Lord, as we bring our nothing before you this morning, we just ask that it'd be a humble and pleasing offering before our King, the one who is worthy of it all. Lord, it is in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed, living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins. My Redeemer is he. The hands that healed nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him from rising again. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one, bringing my Savior Jesus is mine. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Thank you. finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, and all that I need is to be with you. And hear your voice, word of God, speak. Won't you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
Father, again, as we worship you this morning, just ask that you would remind us that it's okay for us to not have all the words. That you are perfectly pleased with us faithfully and humbly bringing our nothing before you. You need nothing from us. You desire us as your children. So much so that you made a way by paying the price we could not afford on the cross. And Lord, you've given us your word written that we might meditate on it and study it and know you. And Lord, as we move into our time of worship through doing just that, we just ask that you would open our minds to understand it. Open our ears to hear it. Open our eyes to see it and our hearts to love it. Lord, let us just rest in your holiness. And if we aren't sure what that looks like, you've given it to us in your word. You provided all that we need. Let us rest in you, Lord. Be glorified this morning. It's in your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Alec. Well, 2021, here it comes. We can only hope that it's a little bit different than 2020 in most situations. And while we cannot expect to control the circumstances, we can expect that we might have some kind of attention that we can give to our own personal condition, our own standing before the Lord in this coming year. This morning we're going to look at, we've been singing about, and I appreciate Brother Alec bringing us to a place of concentrating on the Word, bringing ourselves before the Lord, and we're going to look at a portion of Scripture this morning. You can see 119. Psalm 119 is found in the middle of your Bibles, usually, pretty smack dab in the middle of your Bibles. It is the longest chapter in the Bible with 176 verses. It is actually longer than 30 of the books in the Bible. That's amazing to me. It is a unique psalm in that it focuses completely upon the value and the worth of the Word of God. It's a celebration by the psalmist of how the Word has impacted his life and his declaration and testimony about that. And we find that this is an acrostic. If you have a Bible that has subtitles as such, the first eight verses are under a title called Aleph. And what that is the English letter, the first Hebrew letter, rather, in the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters in that alphabet. What you'll find is there's 22 stanzas of this particular psalm. And each of those stanzas begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So this first stanza, eight verses, there are each of them starts with Aleph, the Hebrew letter Aleph. Each of those lines starts with that. The second eight stanzas, the eight verses there, they begin with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Beth, and so forth until all of those letters, the 22 letters, are used. So it's a unique kind of psalm, an acrostic, that expresses appreciation for the Word of God and the worth of the Holy Scriptures. And so I want us to look at just a few verses out of that. We're not going to look at 176 verses. In fact, the eight verses we have are pretty thorough in and of themselves, but I believe they help to give us a practical application of how we can walk in purity this next year and beyond that, hopefully, and how we can walk in purity, walk in holiness before God and honor Him. The circumstances of our life do not have to control how we walk before God. In fact, they shouldn't as believers. The Lord has overcome those. And so this is good instruction for us to follow, to listen to, and then hopefully to apply as we make our way to the time of decision. So let's stand together. We're going to read Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, and then we will pray and look at these passages. Notice here the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word, to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I've treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I've told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Let's pray together. Father, we're humbled before you this morning. We thank you, Father, for the privilege that it is to go into your holy word, to look at your record to us, and that, Lord God, we'd have the opportunity to be able to respond. We do pray that we respond in such a fashion that we walk from this place in purity, and, Lord God, that we represent you well. To those that we love, we work with, that we associate with in the days to come. Lord God, thank you for this time. We ask you, bless it in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Just in these few verses, and if you were to look at all 176 of the verses found in Psalm 119, you would find many identifiers regarding the Word of God, how the Word of God is identified. Just in these eight verses, in verse 9, your word is one reference to the Scripture, to God's Word. In the next verse, verse 10, your commandments. A little in verse 13, down a little further, your ordinances. Then 14, your testimonies. Verse 15, your precepts, your ways. Verse 16, your statutes and your word. If you go to the previous set of stanzas in verse 7, you find your righteous judgments. There are many references to God's Word, and they all are applicable. They all qualify the Word and statutes and ordinances and testimonies and judgments and precepts. All of those are identifiers of attention for us as people of God. Give attention to these things. They are important to the Lord. And the Scripture itself is important for the believer. And we find these many references or identifiers of that Word of God. So as you read through the Scripture, you'll find those, especially in this particular psalm. Notice here the aspiration, this high aspiration that the psalmist has in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? How can we continue to be pure? Surrounded by a world that's not always so pure, that wickedness runs rampant. Maybe in our own circles in some ways, there are some that aren't always walking in holiness. How can we, as God's people, continue to walk in purity? There's an implication here, and that is that you are pure. You're pure, and no one of us is pure on our own. The Scripture, we referred to this last week in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. There are references there that come from the Psalms. or the Apostle Paul uses these passages to make a point about man's sinfulness. There's no one righteous, not even one, none who understands, none who seeks for God. All have turned aside, together have become useless, none who does good, not even one. And he uses about three chapters to remind us of just how terrible we are. But then the Apostle Paul begins to seep into the remedy that God has through Christ Jesus. How he makes us pure, how he cleanses us from sin, how he was the perfect sacrifice for man's sin. And for those who believe, that application of forgiveness and cleansing comes to that individual. That's what Christmas is so special for, because it reminds us that God gave a gift that was of necessity to all mankind. It was a necessity for us to be able to have salvation. We needed someone to come who could offer up the perfect sacrifice that we could never offer. And Christ Jesus, in his purity and his sinlessness, offered himself up. And God was pleased with that and raised him to life, so that he, killing sin's effect and death's effect, whoever believes would also be spared of sin's effect and death's effect on their lives. This is a great gift, to think of God's giving us this one who would come and take that substitutionary place for those who would trust him. This is the beauty of the Christmas season, and that's where the good news of the Gospels, that God sent his Son, that's where it all comes from, is that God gave his gift, and he sent him, he provided the perfect sacrifice for us all, and as a result, we can trust him, and as a result, be made pure. Once made pure, then we ought to give attention how we maintain this purity. And that's exactly what verse 9 says. How can a young man, or anyone for that matter, who trusts the Lord, keep their purity? How can we maintain that purity? Continue to have purity. Well, we have personal responsibility, but don't forget, the same God who saves you by faith in his word is the same God who keeps you by grace all the days of your life. As the Apostle Paul had said, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He continues to work in our lives. He's not just sitting up in heaven on a throne and just twiddling his fingers and waiting for us to finish the task. He's continuing to work in the lives of those who are attentive to him, who have been born again and now can seek after him and apply this seeking after the Lord that is being required in these few verses. So this purity can be kept by the work of God and also by the attentiveness of those who have been saved. And that's where we come in. We need to watch our way. We need to be attentive to the ways that we speak, the ways we think, the things that we do, that those things reflect what's going on in our heart. If we're pure, we will see deeds that are fruitful deeds. We've talked about this in the last couple of weeks. A good tree puts forth good fruit. A bad tree puts forth bad fruit. And that doesn't come just because we're good. It comes out of a heart that wants to honor the Lord God and has been reborn by the power of God. So how do we do that? We do that by keeping our eyes on the Word. Look what he says there. How do we do that? The bottom part of verse 9, by keeping our lives, our ways, according to the Word, to your Word. The Word of God is important. It is not just something to come into church on Sunday and to hear someone preach about. It's not just about going to Sunday school and somebody taking a verse or two. It is the food of the believer's life. Jesus said, a man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. It is our very nurture, and we should take it as such. We should eat on it and chew on it and make it a part of our daily experience. When we are watching our way, we're watching to see that what we say, do, and think aligns with God's way. And there are often times when our way doesn't align with the Lord's, and it can be uncomfortable. And it can be inconvenient to be confronted with that, and it can be unpopular to those around us. It can be painful to make the adjustment to get ourselves back on the right track. It can be costly. It can sometimes cost you even friends and associates, sometimes family. Because you want to walk with the Lord, and you're going to follow the precepts of Scripture and follow this Lord who loved you so much he would give his life for you. And so we need to study the Word of God. Give attention to it. Make regular time. Now, I've been here 9 years, and every year, this time of the year, I preach this message. And every year, someone comes to me during the course of the year and says, thank you for challenging us to read the Word, because I'm finding myself growing I don't throw this challenge out here just to be boring. I don't throw this challenge out here just to be redundant. I throw it out here because it can nurture your life when you give attention to the Word of God on a regular basis. When you read it, you listen to it, you sing it, you pray it, you expose yourself to it in the way of those who preach truth and are Christ-centered. It's very easy for us to give in to the pull of the flesh. Listen, when you got converted, you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, your sin nature didn't just leave you. It's still in there battling around. And you can sense it sometimes when, like Paul in Romans 7, the things I want to do, I find myself not doing. The things I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. We have a war going on inside of us. The difference is that now that you've been converted, Christ Jesus has come to rule in your heart, and he has enabled you to now resist the flesh, to resist the natural inclination of the lust and the appetites of the flesh, and now to follow the Lord. You've been enabled to do that. And so now it's going to be a battle from this day until the end. And if you got saved with the illusion that it's just going to be smooth sailing from here, you are falsely informed. It is a battle every single day. When the Apostle Paul finished his life, what did he say? I fought the fight. I've run the race. I've kept the course. It was tough. I've been an athlete, run the track thousands of times and run cross country, and miles are hard. But that discipline, there's something of worth at the end. There's reward. And for the believer, attention to the Word of God is a discipline. It is training yourself, and it requires sometimes hardship and difficulty and wrestling with your inner man with these things that you're learning and you're hearing and the Spirit is bringing to your attention. And so we have to give attention to it. How do we keep our way pure? By keeping it according to the Word of God. In verse 10, we find this declaration by the psalmist. And he says, with all my heart, I have sought you. Now, we just read Romans chapter 3, verse 10, 11, and 12. And in one of those verses said, no one seeks after God. In our sinful condition, we can't even assume that we're going to run after God. But when God opens your spiritual eyes and draws you to himself, and you get a taste of that holiness, for those that trust in the Lord, you'll want to pursue him. You'll want to go after him. Here the psalmist is speaking to himself, really saying, I'm going after the Lord with everything I have. With all of my heart, I'm pursuing the Lord God. I'm going to seek after him and go after him. That can only happen after conversion. And as he does, he says, as I'm seeking, I will not wander. Do not let me wander from your commandments. The scripture tells us that believers are strangers in a foreign land. When we're in this earth, this is not our home. But we're not to be wandering in this land. The Lord has given us direction and purpose. He's given us an appointed mission for every single life. And we're not just wandering around. And the psalmist here says, I know my tendency. My tendency is to get off track and distracted and to go another way. Lord God, help me not to wander. You know, when Jesus taught us the model prayer and said, lead me not into temptation, I've always wondered about that part of the prayer, but this is exactly what it is. It's a cry to the Lord. I have to depend upon you to keep me from being distracted. Lord, don't let me get into temptation. Keep me away from that. Don't let me wander. Help me, Father, to seek you with all of my heart. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He narrowed it down to two things. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbors yourself. With all your heart, love God. You get that right, you're going to get the rest of it right. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and we should seek him with all our heart. Even though we know him, we have him, he dwells within us, we still have to pursue him, again, because the sin nature in us is battling to rule our lives. And so we should give attention to that. And we should not only obey the law as we learn it. And he makes that statement, I don't want to wander from your commandments. But there's a wall that people put up about the commandments of God. The New Testament idea is that the Word of God, the law of God, has been put in the heart of the believer. When the Holy Spirit comes into a converted life, he brings his law with it. You have the very commandments of God in you. They're not necessarily do not do this. They're more like do this, do this, do this. Rather than kill, be kind. Rather than commit adultery, treat each other with respect and value. Rather than steal, give somebody something. The Lord's Spirit is speaking through us in a much different way than the law does. The law says don't do this and don't do that. But the Spirit of God in us says, do this, do that. And so we have a new law in us, and those commandments we ought to be attentive to because they will help us not to wander off the path, but to find what we're looking for in seeking our God and finding purity there. Verse 11, your word I've treasured in my heart. This is probably well known among most of you if you've been in Sunday school for any time. And I remember this was one of my memory verses when I first began memorizing Scripture. Your word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. This seeking after the Lord is like looking for a precious treasure that we might hold dear and that we might put in our treasure chest of our life and hold it dear. That doesn't mean we don't ever share it. That just means that we hold it and don't let it escape so that our minds and our hearts and our lives are guided by this truth, this treasure that He has brought us to and led us to, not wandering to, but bringing us to that place with purpose. And that helps prevent us from falling into sin when we go to the Word of God and we treasure it and we value it. And this whole testimony in Psalm 119 is a testimony about treasuring the Word of God. The Word of God has revived me. I love your word. Your word is sweeter than honey. These passages of Scripture are the expression of someone who loves the Word of God and pursues it and is grateful to have the Word of God in their lives, and they treasure this Word of God. We should treasure the Word in the very same way because it keeps us from sinning against you. It's no mistake that he says that I may not sin against you. Oftentimes when we sin, we sin against one another. Becomes very apparent that we've offended somebody else when we sin. David was aware of that. Psalm 51 is an expression of King David's prayer of confession and repentance after his sin with Bathsheba. And if you're not very familiar with that, you find that instance in 2 Samuel, I believe in about chapter 9, chapter 11, you find this account of David committing sin with a woman who happened to be the wife of one of his mighty men. David had like 33 mighty men who protected him and were the main ones he counted on to go into battle and to lead the way into battles. And one of those was Uriah, and his wife was home, and David was home when kings are usually out to battle, as Scripture says, and David went out to his porch in the afternoon after a nap. This is where complacency can lead you. Watch those afternoon naps because they could lead you to trouble. David goes out on his balcony and he looks out over his kingdom and thinking, oh, my men are out fighting and this is the kingdom that God has given to me. And he sees a beautiful woman bathing somewhere in the city and he inquires about her. And more than inquires, he has her brought up to his place and then the unthinkable happens. He has a relationship with her and then she becomes pregnant. And David tries to cover it up, but he's already sinned and he can't get the woman's husband to come home and to have any relations with her because he's faithful to the men out in the field. And so that plan fails. So David decides to send Uriah on the front lines where he'll be killed, a certain suicide mission. But not only Uriah, but some other men. When you read the Scripture, you find Uriah wasn't the only one that died in that instance. There were other men. This sin was against Bathsheba and her purity and him valuing her and then valuing his own wives. Shouldn't have had so many. He had plenty and he took someone else's little ewe lamb. That's what Nathan said. He didn't value Uriah. He sinned against Uriah. He sinned against the other men who were warriors. He sinned against his own kingdom when he committed this crime. He sinned against his children. What kind of precedent was he setting for his children? He sinned against all believers in the Lord God who were watching his life as an example of following God. He impacted so many people, but David's conclusion, and this is a wonderful psalm. If you ever fall into sin, you need to confess. This is a great psalm to pray to God if you mean it from your heart. You get to verse 4 in this prayer, and he says, Lord, against you and you only have I sinned. And while on the outside that may not seem true because he offended so many, he saw it first off as an offense before God, and that's really what it is. Our sin is a sin against God. When we begin to take God and His Word seriously and we see sin the way God sees sin, we'll see it as an offense before Him and we'll be more inclined to treasure His Word and hide it in our hearts so that we don't offend God, so we don't sin against Him. One of the greatest disappointments in our lives as believers is when we sin and we recognize, man, I just did God a disservice. I got to confess this and repent of it, and I need to turn back to the Lord. God is offended by sin, especially from his children. Listen, when we have children, we want them to live up to our standards and measures, and sometimes we may set those too high, but when they sin, it hurts us. Imagine how God is offended by our sin. Here, the psalmist says, Lord, I want to treasure this word in my heart, and I have, so that I may not sin against you. And that's a good way to approach the word of God, that word will help keep us from sinning against him and being more concerned about offending God than others. Not that we will offend others haphazardly, but knowing that when we do offend others, it's a sin against God. We live in a society today that would say to you, we can't offend others before they think about not offending God. God should be the priority. And when we get that right, the rest will fall into its proper place. And so he says, Lord God, I've treasured this. Now, you're blessed, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Lord God, you are holy. You are blessed. Where else would I go to learn of your word, to learn of your statutes, to learn of your truth? He was expressing here that the Lord was his source for his life's sustainment. And we need to do the same thing. Teach me your statutes. If we're going to love the Lord the way the Lord needs to be loved, serve him, obey him, represent him well, we need to go to him to be instructed, not to man. And listen, God has given us great historical wise men who have sought the scriptures and prayerfully written out documents and references, but those aren't the word of God, and yet they can be resourceful and helpful. But ultimately, we go to the word of God, and we trust what God tells us, and we lean upon him. That's where we want to rest our lives. The prayer of every committed believer should be, help me get to the place where I am so yielded to you, O Lord, that I hunger for your truth more than any other food. Earlier in verse 8, of this psalm, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. I will keep your statutes. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Verse 66 in this same chapter, teach me good discernment and knowledge, because I believe in your commandments. That the psalmist is going directly to God. Teach me, Lord. You are the source. There was a time in Jesus' earthly ministry when there was a crisis. In chapter 6, Jesus was teaching things that were difficult to hear. And in John chapter 6, he said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood if you're really going to be my disciple and follow me appropriately. And the people were offended by that. And some people said, we're not going to follow you anymore. And the scripture says many of those followed him no more. At that point, Jesus turned to his 12 and he said, you guys, you want to go away too? And the disciples' response, chapter 6 of John, and verses 68 and 69, Lord God, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we know that you're the Holy One of God. Where else will we go? They had been weak at times, and they had been wishy-washy at times, but they knew the only source for truth was Jesus. That's where we need to get. No matter where we are in the degree of our maturity in Christ, we need to get to the place where we know there's nowhere else to go for truth. There's nowhere else to go for the source of truth that will feed and help us to walk with him. And this psalmist is saying, Lord God, you're blessed. Teach me your statutes. When we get to the place where we understand that if we're going to keep pure, if we're going to be pure, we have to go to the Lord first. If we're going to stay pure, we have to stay in the Word. We have to seek him with all our hearts. There's some responsibility on our part, and to call on the Lord to not allow me to wander from his commandments and treasure those things that we learn up in our hearts so we don't sin against God. And then as we do that, lean on him for teaching. When we do all of that, the next few verses give us a practical response and application. As I studied this, I wondered, how could I finish this message out? And for the one who submits to the word of the Lord, submits to the Lord and the word of the Lord, should be a commitment to this kind of purity. And we find this psalmist committing to these things. Look in verse 13, with my lips, I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. When we trust in the word of the Lord and we give attention to the word of the Lord, he gives us something of worth to talk about. He gives us something of worth to declare to others. Isn't it marvelous how we can get together and we can talk about the weather and we can talk about the ball game and we can talk about all the peripheral things, but it's so hard to talk about what the Lord's done. Scriptures are full of God's mighty acts. And we defer to the things that go on in our world and the weaknesses of men rather than focusing upon what God can do. God has given us in his word something worth talking about. And the more we incline ourselves to the scripture and to his truth, the more we'll be inclined to talk about that which is of great worth. And it'll come right out of the scripture. That's what the psalmist says here. Lord God, with my lips I've told of your ordinances. All those things that came from your mouth, I'm passing them on. The next verse, verse 14, I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all my riches. This gives us something to celebrate, something of worth to celebrate. The psalmist has found the word of God to be that which can be celebrated, the testimonies of the Lord. I've rejoiced in your testimonies. Again, when we look at scripture and see what God has done, we look in our own lives, our own time span. Look, this last year was difficult and terrible. It was hard. And many of us may want to just forget about it, but there are things to learn there. There were things that we can grow from, mature from what we've experienced in this previous year. God's faithfulness. God's continued. I tell you, the church has been responsive to the Lord in these days. People have been helped. People that have been confined to their homes, couldn't go anywhere, there are others stepping up, ministering to them. There's growth and ministry going on, even when it looks bleak, when you look out. The Lord's still doing mighty work. His kingdom's not gone. In fact, in the worst of times, that's when the kingdom thrives. Let's declare those testimonies. Let's celebrate that God is doing and has done great things. He continues to save lives and fight our battles and stop our enemies and provide salvation and continues and will fulfill all the prophecies that he's ever given, just as he's done in the past. He's a faithful God. Let's celebrate that. His word gives us something to celebrate. And then his word gives us something of worth to think about. Look at the next verse. I'll meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. Regard is to give attention to observe, to respect, to heed. We have lost the art of spending time in God's word. Even if we do have a devotional we give to, we look at it for a minute and we just run on to our list of to-dos for the day. And if you don't, hallelujah, spend your time in the Word. But I can't imagine going to the Texas Roadhouse and sitting down with a 12-ounce ribeye steak and cutting me off a chunk of it, bite-sized, putting it in my mouth and just swallowing it without chewing it. But that's what we do with God's Word often. We take it, we put a big hunk of it in our head, and then we just swallow it down. God's Word's meant to be chewed. It's meant to savor the flavor of it. Oh, the last steak I had, I just sat there every bite. Laura thought, what's wrong with you? Because I just, it was so good. The flavor was good. It just, and I chewed every little bit I could chew for that before I swallowed it. That's what we ought to do with God's Word. God's Word is rich and sweet, and it's of great nurture, and it can build us and grow us. We need to give attention to His Word and spend time in it. If you have to discipline yourself to get up a little bit earlier, to stay up a little bit later in the Word of God rather than on what's on television or on your electronic device. And if you do have your electronic device, find a good podcast on there. Find somebody who's a Christ-centered preacher. Put your attention on that. Spend time in the Word of God. It's something of worth that we should think on and we could think on. Regard the ways of God. Give attention to the things of the Word of God. And then verse 16. I'll delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. This is probably an umbrella thought, but this gives us something of worth to remember. As I mentioned, this past year perhaps was rocky for some. It's been difficult. Some parents have been in nursing homes, and it's been difficult to not be able to connect with them. The holidays, perhaps like us, you had some that just couldn't show up, wouldn't show up, either fear or not wanting to pass something on. Those things are difficult. And while some of them, we may want to forget about some of this stuff, again, the Lord is using these experiences for us to be drawn closer to Him and to recognize His power and His faithfulness in getting us through the year, regardless of the circumstances. That's God's way. The stories that we love most in the Old Testament are the stories when God's people were in a bind and God rescued them out of trouble, not rescuing them out of good things. This is God's M.O. His best work's done in our worst circumstances. Praise our Lord. Let's not forget. His word gives us something to remember, and His work in our midst gives us something to remember. I think about some of the lessons perhaps that maybe we could have learned this year. How's my character after this year? Is it better than last year? How's my concern for other people? How's my heart towards giving? How's my heart towards being available? How's my heart towards fellowship? How's my heart towards my God? There's so many things that the Lord wants to recall, bring to our recall, so that we are experiencing celebration and that we're not forgetting and that we're having opportunity to think about and celebrate and to say those things that honor God because we've spent time in His Word. You know, walk in purity this next year? I don't know too many of us that say it. I wouldn't want to do that. We have to put in the work. Trust God. Get in His Word. Let Him feed you. Let Him teach you. Scripture is available. Let's commit to His Word. Let's make this a part of our faith and practice. I think about Psalm verse chapter 1, and we're going to begin to close here. But in the very first psalm, we find this: how blessed is a man doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand the path of the sinners nor sit in the seat of scoffers. That his delight is in the law of the Lord. A man who doesn't do these crazy things, he's delighting in the Word of God. His law, he meditates on it day and night. We could learn from that. And he'll be like a tree that's firmly planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season, its leaf doesn't wither, and in whatever that tree does, he prospers. That man will be like that kind of tree. Fruitful, stable, dependable, effective. If we give attention to the Word of God, meditate upon it, that's the kind of men we'll be. It's the kind of women we'll be. It's the kind of children it will be to our Lord God. Obviously, all of it has to be grounded in God's Son, Jesus Christ, who is, as introduced in Gospel of John, the Word, and in the work that He did through His death and resurrection. That's the starting place. And once you got the starting place, now it's time to walk in faithfulness. It's time to do the work that we need to do. As we see the Lord do His work in us, we cooperate with Him in that. You're going to walk in purity this year. I just encourage you, get in the Word of God. Study, pray, look at, eat it, meditate on it. Let's take time to respond this morning. Let's pray together. Father, as we move into the time of responding to what You have shared with us this morning out of Your Word. Lord God, I thank You for the privilege that it is, Lord God, to look into Your Word every single day. And I thank You, Father, for the riches that are found there. And I thank You, Father, for the many times that attention to the Word and knowledge of it because of that attention to the Word has kept me from wandering off the path. Lord God, I pray that for Your sheep. I pray that for every person in this place. And Father, if there be any do not know you as Savior and Lord, that this morning might be the morning that you draw them to yourself, that, Lord God, their eyes are open to see their need for forgiveness, and that the only way of that forgiveness is through the work of Christ at the cross and in his resurrection. Lord God, may our response to you be of honor, because it's a privilege for us. Lord God, may you be glorified through our response. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we have opportunity to respond, and the altar will be open. Brother Alec will lead us.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou
Our Father, you are holy and righteous and pure and good. And you produce children, Father, so that we are holy and righteous and pure and good. Lord God, not in our own energy, but in our dependence upon you. Help us, Father, be committed to great dependence upon you and reflecting you to this world, wherever you send us this coming week and this coming year. We are grateful. And we thank you in advance as you do your mighty work in and through our lives. We pray it in the name of Jesus to your glory. Amen. God bless. Don't forget, Christmas cards are back there if you haven't looked through the Christmas cards. Also, Wednesday we have no evening activities, and tonight church conference. Brother Alec will close you out.
All right, church, we're going to sing the doxology as we go.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you, church. Have a happy new year. You are dismissed.